Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Turn with me in your Bible this morning to Psalms chapter 63. Again, if you haven't downloaded the church app, you can download the church app, and it'll have my outline on for the sermon there. I didn't post it so early this time. I waited till almost service time to come in so everybody would get it about time I started preaching. So it's on the app now, and so I thank the Lord. Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2, it says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh longs for you, for in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we come to you in this service, God, set aside on this Sunday morning, Lord, to come in and to praise you and to worship you, Lord, and bring our tithe and offering unto you and have a time of prayer, but also a time of preaching of the word. And Lord, today we pray that you just stir our hearts. God, may we glean something this morning that will encourage us, God, in our walk with you, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, David wrote this particular psalm and at a time when he was desperately needed, where he desperately needed a personal relationship or get closer to God once again in his life. He needed time in God's presence. How many times have we felt like we need time in God's presence in our life? Life has a way of draining you. And sometimes we just have that longing in our spirit. We need more of God in our lives. The heading to the psalm does not tell us particularly what time of life that this psalm was written by David. But we can know for certain that it was a time when he was the king already. So it's not when Saul was chasing him as before he became king, but this is afterward. Many of the scholars will say that it was a time when Absalom invaded and David had to leave the castle and his place of living, his dwelling place, and found himself out in the wilderness once again because things had been interrupted in his life. Things were not as normal as they used to be. And so some will tell you that. I agree with them in this thinking of perhaps this is when the Psalms was written. See, David had gone from a thriving life to one that had changed dramatically in his life. One from in the castle, people waiting on him, people and having the presence of God in the city where the temple of God existed. And now he was out in the wilderness. And perhaps this is when he wrote this psalm, when he says, Lord, I'm in a dry and thirsty land. I long for your presence. I long for what I once had in you. I long to thrive again in relationship with you. So we find at this moment in David's life, this is probably where he's at. He longed for the return of the life that he once had in the presence of God. Can I tell you, living a thriving life is something all of us desire. Amen? All of us desire to have a life that's thriving. To thrive is to do well or flourish. An example, if your new cookie delivery business thrives, you'll be rolling in dough. Yeah, you got that fast. Not literally, of course. The verb thrive means to flourish or grow vigorously and can be applied to something like a business or something or someone's actual health. It also means to prosper and to be of good fortune or successful. I think all of us would want that in our life, to be successful in life. We usually relate this word to one's success in the things of the world, such as careers or businesses or sports or relationship with others. But I wonder how many times is this word associated with our relationship with God? In this world that we live in, how many times do we associate the word thriving in our relationship with God? You know, that is an important place for us to be, to thrive in that relationship. The Bible tells us to put God first in our life. Love the Lord God with all our hearts. the Lord, the creator of all, has put things in order for our life. And so I think each one of us should have a desire that our relationship with God is thriving, it's prosperous. And I think that's something that all of us would agree with. You know, as David was speaking in this Psalms, he was really literally seeking to thrive in connection with God once again, thrive to be in his presence, wanting that once again to flood his life in a relationship with God. What an awesome thing to want. And if we do associate with our relationship with God, is it possible to thrive in relationship? And another question, is it his will that you thrive in that relationship? Well, I got three little short points this morning to look at. First thing I want to say, it's God's intention for you to thrive. You know, sometimes the enemy says, no, God doesn't want you to prosper. God doesn't want you to have a thriving life. You've been so horrible, God just wants to barely get you into heaven. Can I tell you something? God has never saved a person that way. He never says, hey, I'm going to get you into heaven, but your life is going to be miserable. God has the desire to see us prosper. He has a desire. You know, by giving us a fresh start for this purpose, God has given us a fresh part for this, a fresh start for this very purpose. His intention is for us to thrive. You know, we read this scripture quite often, 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Can I tell you something this morning? That when we get saved, we enter into God's will for our life, and we understand that God now has called us to his purpose. We are his people, and we are his children, and life starts new when we actually become born again. And he says, I will bless my children. I will thrive them. I will give them a life of abundance. Oh, let's remember what Jesus says. I've come to set them free and to give them life. Not only life, but life abundantly. I mean, you know, that says thriving. Not only do I get a new life, but I get to have life abundant because of Jesus Christ. That's his desire for me. Now listen, I'm not a prosperity preacher. You never hear me preach those things. But I'm going to tell you, there's something about having a relationship with God that we can thrive in our relationships. Amen? With him. That we can thrive that way. This word speaks of that. Jeremiah said this, Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted, and the word actually means to be transplanted. When you study that word planted, it means to be transplanted. And so I am transplanted from the world, and now I'm transplanted into his kingdom. I now have citizenship in the kingdom of God. I have been transplanted. And let me tell you something. I don't feed on what the world has. I mean, you know, the world has miserable and misery and all kinds of things. And I've been transplanted into the kingdom of God, and now I will flourish. Amen? I will flourish because God is able to do it. He says, it's transplanted, where? By the waters. What waters? The living waters. The waters that flow. The waters of the Holy Spirit. Those that flow into our life as Christians. And that spreadeth her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall not be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You know what that says? I'm going to thrive through every circumstance that comes into my life. That's God's intention for us to be there. It doesn't mean we're not going to go through difficult moments, but we can actually still be blessed through those moments. You know, I think often, how do people make it through this world when devastation hits them or calamity hits? How do they make it through that moment? Because you know what? I found in my life that where I lean upon is my relationship with God. I lean upon the Word of God. That, and sometimes I don't feel it. It's not like, but I lean upon the Word. Do you know the Word of God is not about our emotions? The Word of God is about faith. Amen? It's about faith in our lives. And so we have those moments in our life. So his intention, when he brings us into his intention, is when we get born again. Come on, I remember Brother James Adams. I talk about him every now and then, but I remember him laying underneath like a tarp and snow on top of him. I was trying to find him to get him to come to church or pick him up for church, and I see the snow kind of shake a little bit, and I said, James, I said, you okay? He said, I'm blessed. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't be saying I'm blessed if I'm underneath that in the snow. This is before he got a place to live, actually an apartment to live in. But you know, he had made his mind up that he's going to thrive regardless of the circumstances that he was going through. I thank God for that witness, that testimony. I put him in his ashes in Hansford Cemetery. I put James Adams on there. I've talked to a guy I knew from that, and they said, oh, just go out and dig you a hoe and put those there. Didn't charge me anything. And I put a little marker there, James Adams, I'm blessed, on his marker. And that just spoke to my life, spoke to my heart. Why? Because he got it. His thriving started when he gave his life to Jesus. And sometimes we forget that. The best thing, the Lord said to him, to the disciples, after they came back, says, hey, we've seen demons cast out, people healed, and Jesus says, rejoice not in that, but rejoice in the fact that your name is written down. Why? Because it's in that relationship that God's blessings flow. God thrives and blesses us life, our life in that relationship. Listen, another thing, he does this by his prospering hand over our lives. He helps us to prosper. He puts his hand. You know, there's something about God having his hand on your life. Amen? That brings blessings. Many people, I've seen many people come to a relationship with God. God pulls them out of literally the gutter and gets them a job, gets them a home to live in, and then they forget how that all came about in their life. It's because God opened doors of opportunities in their life. God is able to do that, my friend. He's able to bring that into our lives. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I have, I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, I know enough about Scripture. He's speaking into Israel's life at that moment. They'd been led away to Babylon for 70 years of captivity, and he's trying to encourage them to understand that they will come back and they will be blessed. His plans for them was to be blessed. But can I tell you, you can read enough in Scripture to realize God wants to prosper and put his hand upon your life. Not necessarily money, wouldn't it be great? But God prospers us in many ways other than material things. Just a peace of mind. Can I tell you today, there are many people spending thousands of millions trying to get a peace about their life and all that, when all they need really is Jesus Christ. Hey, Jesus with blessings is a great thing, amen? Great thing to have Jesus with blessings in our life. And so he's not against that. But let me tell you, the thing is that he can give us a future and a hope. And he was speaking to Israel the same way. I'll give you a future and hope. God gives us a future and a hope in this life that we live in. Psalms 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad for who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in prosperity, in the prosperity of his servant. My word, God takes pleasure in the fact that he's prospered you. Isn't that good? Come on, y'all are quiet. Y'all should be shouting. But he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He loves that. And I thank God for that in my life, that when he sees things are going and being able to help me in different things like that, he takes pleasure in being able to do that. I'm going to tell you, as a parent, I take pleasure in being able to help my children out every now and then. I do. And they take pleasure in it. Amen? They take pleasure in it. But it's a wonderful thing. Can you imagine God, the creator of all of everything, takes pleasure in prospering your life? I think that's amazing, amen, that he is able to say, I am so glad that I'm able to bless Billy Snyder, or whoever it may be. He takes pleasure in that in our life. And I thank Him for that. That is His intention in our lives. You know, He blesses us and He causes us to thrive because of the fullness. In His fullness, Ephesians 3:19 says, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Let me tell you this, you know, His intention is for us to thrive in His fullness, in who He is. The fullness of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all that He represents, everything that He has in His Word of God, it's His intention for us to thrive in that Word. I tell you today, I have learned, and I think every Christian needs to learn a little bit of this, is that we do not think like the world. Amen? We're out of the world. I'm thrilled to know that, to know some of the attributes of God and who He is. I'm thrilled to understand that He walks with me in the valley. He's with me on the mountaintop. I'm thrilled to understand His precepts and His principles because I get in His fullness, not just in the salvation granted, but also in a loving relationship with God, that He talks with me and He walks with me. And sometimes, listen, I hate this part, sometimes He takes me to the woodshed. I've been there a lot. If you go there, you'll find my initials. I'm just saying God does that. But we are to thrive in His fullness. The Bible says He disciplines those that He loves. In the fullness of it. I'm glad He doesn't just let me walk astray and not get onto me like some parent in the Walmart aisle of the toy store. But He lines me up to thrive in the fullness of who God is. What an awesome thought. Amen? He walks alongside Him. Have you ever just went to God and vented respectfully? Isn't it great that you can just say, God, I don't understand it. I need help. It's amazing what God can do when we're just up front with Him. You know, I have told God nothing that He didn't already know. Amen? He is the parent that got eyes in the back of His head. No. But He knows everything. But something about bringing it to Him can help me to thrive in that relationship with Him. Because, see, I'm understanding that He's able, that He loves me enough to hear. I thank God for that, to thrive in that relationship that we have. In His fullness, when we think about that fullness of love, we thrive in the love that He gives us, the peace that He gives us, the joy unspeakable that we sung about this morning, forgiveness that He gives us, the growing in His Word, also serving, you know, being blessed, having good health, and giving, and also full of compassion. All these things we get to thrive in a relationship with God. My word, I am so glad that we didn't find some piece of wood and carve out a God and set it and bow before it. I'm so glad that He is the God that created us, amen? And He wants us to thrive. That's His intention for you and me, to thrive and to be blessed. The next thing that we find is that intrusions can keep us from thriving. Intrusions in our life. How many of you have ever had that someone just intruded into your life business? They can keep us from thriving. You know, I think about animals in zoos. You know, I love to go see them. Many times Robin and I will go look at them, but oftentimes I think, I wonder what that feels like, especially the birds, to be in a cage when they're meant to fly, but yet they're caged up and they can't do what God's created them to do. Or perhaps a bear that's been made to roam around and different things. I love it that we can go see these creatures that God has made. But I often think, what do they think about the environment that they are in now? Do they feel a little bit like Samson who was born to be a leader and to judge for Israel, and now because he let his hair get cut, now he's held captive? You know, and oftentimes in our life, if we know God's intention in our life is for us to thrive, then the enemy is going to try to keep your life from thriving. Hear what I said. The enemy is going to keep you or try to keep you from thriving. He doesn't like to see a happy, smiley Christian. He didn't lack one, that he sees that the difficult times are going through, and yet they will still praise God. You know, Job really got on the enemy's nerves. Yet I will still praise him. Would you agree with me that he had an intrusion in his life? And see, what can keep us from thriving many times is when we have an intrusion that comes into our life. I mean, every one of us sitting here today have been challenged, and we will be challenged until Jesus takes us home. Amen. There are those moments that we can't control that come into our life, and we're thinking, and let me just say this, the enemy is trying to keep you from thriving in your relationship with God. We've been held captive by an intruder sometimes, or intruder, just like the animals I mentioned in the zoo. There are three intruders one must watch out for. And it's not all, but I'm going to give you these three. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Who? The enemy himself. 2 Timothy 2:26, when it's talking about some people that have been backslidden, those that are no longer serving God like they used to. Listen to what it says. And they pray that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captivity by him to do his will. So there's a couple of things there that you want to understand. The enemy is there to try to intrude in your life, and also there's people in your life that have been sent or being used. They don't know it, whether they're saved or unsaved, that they're being used by the enemy to intrude your life and how God wants to have you to thrive. Now listen to what I'm saying. I'm talking about spiritual things that happen in our life. And sometimes when we look back, we think, oh my word, I see the dirty trick that the devil used on me. We used to make songs up like that, or they used to sing them in church. I think it was a good thing. Lock him in a box. Throw away the key. Why? Because they understood that he was there to intrude in their life. I'm going to tell you today that the devil has not gave up, and he's not going to give up until he's dragged into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and he still doesn't give up after that. He is persistent. He will continue until he is drug into the lake of fire. So get ready, folks. Sometimes we need to understand the enemy. I know we blame the devil for a lot of things. I had a tire rent Friday night. I'm going to tell you, I went to visit somebody in the hospice. Cost me $300-something for that little journey. Do I blame the devil? No. I blame my driving. It wasn't that funny, Gunner. Gunner's telling me, I told you, because we had a conversation a while back. He says, you should buy a warranty on those tires. I don't need warranty. And I'm thinking, she would have saved me some money, but hey, I'm still not going to buy a warranty. But I'm just saying, I can't blame the devil for that. Life happens. But I can tell you, the enemy, when it starts to mess with my spiritual life, when it starts to mess with my happiness, my joy, I must think, oh my word, the enemy is trying to mess with my, the intention of God in my life is that I will thrive. We must understand, we do fight a spiritual battle. Amen? And all of us are going to be hit every now and then. And the key is to understand God's intention in our life is for us to thrive. And there are those that I would call Satan's helper. Hey, he doesn't do everything by himself. I'm going to tell you, you need to get this revelation of the devil. He cannot be everywhere all the time. Amen? Someone said, well, the devil's after me. And I'm thinking, I don't know. You may be that important, but I don't know if you're that important. But I'm going to tell you, he may have sent some demonic beings. Yes, there are such things as demonic beings. They're out there. And he may actually use somebody that operates more in the flesh than they do the spirit. You know, you can find people, even in a church, that operate more in the flesh than they do in the spirit. The word for that is carnality. Paul had to address it in 1 Corinthians about the carnal Christians that he was having to deal with. Notice he called them carnal believers. And so sometimes we don't know where the avenue is, but here's the key thing about this is I want you to get in your head this morning, in my head, that God's intention for you is to thrive no matter what you're going through, that you learn something, and that God will continue to prosper your life. Amen? He wants you to do that. He's there. That's why we find scriptures, even like I'll speak of this week sometime, is that we don't mourn as those with no hope. What is that? Yes, I'm going to hurt, but I'm going to thrive also at the same time because God is going to wrap His arms around me. He's going to wrap His arm around the church. He's going to be with us, and we are going to sense His presence through this journey. Come on, the devil wants to wipe us out, keep us there, but hallelujah, God is with us. I'm sorry for getting excited. I just have a hard time preaching without getting excited. But praise God, amen, that we got such a Father in heaven that is there to walk us through. Hallelujah. All things work together for good for those who are called according to God's purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm about to preach. So we have Satan and Satan's helpers. And then there's another thing that we need to watch out for, and it's called self. Self. Us, who we are. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You don't want another one of your number one enemies, and probably more than the enemy, the devil himself, is ourselves. That's why Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, pick up your cross, deny yourself. Paul says, I beat myself down daily. Self can be one of our number one enemies and the closest one to us. Can't much get much closer than that, right? And that we learn that this can be that enemy. Why? Sometimes our own emotions, our own lust can keep us from thriving in our relationship with God. God's intention, listen, is to bless you. But I'm going to tell you this much. When we are not serving God like we should, His intention is also to bless you through discipline. So we find that self can be one of those things that keep us from thriving in our relationship with God. You know what He'll do when we go sideways? He's going to send conviction on you. How many of you have ever, don't raise your hand, been convicted? Me and Gunner back there. We've all felt that. You know what He's doing? He's trying to bring yourself back into where it needs to be. We feel that. And when we do things that we're not should be, why does He do that? Because we are starting to mess up His intention for our life and that we thrive in our relationship with Him. Oh, this is good stuff when it talks about personal relationship and how we serve God and that relationship thriving. I'm going to give you some tools of the intruder when he... They come in various forms. Just to name a few, gossip is an intruder. Amen? Bible says get rid of the talebearer and you got peace. You know, we often think, well, we need to get rid of sister so-and-so in the church or brother so-and-so. But hey, sometimes if we learn not to gossip, we have peace. Woo-hoo. Wow. Amen? These things keep us from thriving. Criticism and judging. Can I tell you, you can get in the habit of criticizing everything that goes on. Well, it was too hot. It was too cold. I just couldn't worship God at 72 degrees. Man, that's a good temperature. I try to keep it warm enough for y'all, but right now I'm pretty hot. But I'm just saying, you can get a habit of criticizing, and when you become a critic, you're literally following in and judge not Scripture. Yeah, that's what that scripture says. Judge not, for in the same like judgment you shall be judged. It comes into that. When I start to judge every little detail about a person, every little detail about a service, all these things can interrupt me thriving in the presence of God. Intruders, this is some of the tools. Hate, anger, unforgiveness, non-tithing. Should I hang out there for a moment? All these things can affect. I know there are those that say, the Bible doesn't say tithe. But let me tell you, I just feel in my life, I'll tell you as a preacher, I'm going to give my tithe. I'm going to give my offering. I'm going to bless. If God gives me to be a blessing to somebody. I often thought, God, give me $1 million, I'll bless somebody with a $10 bill. Nah, just kidding. I would bless, man. I'm just telling you. I've learned that I can't outgive God, but I've learned also let me keep what is God's, and then see if I can still thrive in my relationship with Him. How about lust, worry? You know, the Bible tells us not to worry. Be anxious for nothing. Amen? I mean, you know, that has been passed down to me. My grandmother was a worrier. When something happens, I have to fight the thing because I can already figure out every little detail that's going to happen next. Can I tell you how many times I've been right? No, I ain't going to tell you because I never am right. But sometimes we worry about stuff that never happens. Most things that you worry about will never come to pass. Jesus said, oh, the worry, and you can't even add one inch to your stature. It can affect our relationship because worrying is anti-faith. Greed, neglecting our relationship with Christ can also cause us not to thrive. Neglect means I'm just not taking care of it. I'm not working on it. I'm not doing as God would have me to do. Relationships change in our lives can cause us to not thrive in God if we don't get our eyes back. Complacency, I just don't really care. I'm comfortable in my walk with God. I've heard, this is the time we live in. Complacency, lukewarmness is spoke of, a prophetic word in Revelation 3:16 about the church age that we're living in today. Lukewarmness. That can affect my thriving with God. Church attendance. I don't just say church attendance because I'm a pastor, but I believe people are to come to church and we are to see Kylie wear pink shoes on the platform. Amen? Hallelujah. I love being with the church family. Amen? I love coming together. Why? Because we encourage one another. I heard my brother singing this morning, and this is how the pastor, I'm sitting here with my hands up, I'm hearing Brother James sing, and I'm thinking, we ought to be on the platform. I ought to get him involved. But you know, it's just good to hear. And you may not be, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's just coming together, enjoying one another, and in the presence of God. There's nothing like us coming together and worshiping God together. Amen? What a wonderful thing. And it doesn't consume that much of our time each week, just a couple of hours. You say, well, Pastor, you preach forever. That's all right. I'm done by noon. But I'm just saying, to encourage one another in church going, and it can affect our thriving in our relationship with God when we are absent on purpose quite regularly. I get things happen. Worldliness, if you want to affect, you know, I'm talking about tools that these intruders use. Worldliness is one of them. You know, God doesn't work in worldliness. He works in holiness. Can I say that again? He doesn't work in worldliness. He works in holiness. Man, God flows in holiness. You let the church in America get back to holiness and cut out a bunch of this junk we call church. Watch what God does with a nation. Woo! That felt good to say that. I'm just saying, that's where He works at. That's where people thrive. That's where Samuel thrived at. He was thriving in holiness unto God. Samson thrived in holiness until he got his foot more into the world than he did with God. Thriving with God is coming out of the world. And I know you preach a lot of this today, and people don't want to hear it. Why? Because we are locked into the world. We want the world's blessing, but we want salvation up here on my shelf somewhere like a trophy. Can I tell you, I was looking at some of my trophies the other day, and I think I'm tired of looking at them. I threw a golf trophy away. That's very rare for me to get a golf trophy. And then I got to thinking, I may have just had an extra one when I was men's leader and put that on my shelf. I don't know if I want it or not, but I just say it. Salvation has never been meant to put it on the shelf and be a trophy. It's something to grow in and to prosper in, to thrive in, and it's to grow in relationship in. And that is where God wants to do. And if we get that mindset, the world will not be attracted to us no more. Jesus, our Savior, will become more and more attractive every day. He is the groom. He is the groom. So So all those things. So what if we find ourselves in this moment in our lives that we don't feel like we're thriving in our relationship with God like we should be? And I think all of us go through these moments in our lives that we just don't feel like we should. Kind of like David, the psalmist I read about earlier. He says, I find myself in a dry and thirsty land. What do we do? What do we do when we find ourselves? Because if truly it's God's intention to help us to have a thriving life, and truly if we understand that sometimes intruders can hinder my relationship with God if I let that do that long enough in my life. So what I do if I find myself there? I got this one thing I want to speak of this morning, and I want to give you an insight to thriving once again. An insight to thriving once again. And I'm going to tell you, I've had to do this in my life, and I think all of us can find ourselves at a point. And it's very simple. It's just wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. You know, the scripture tells us in Isaiah 40:31, many of you know it, says, but they that wait upon the Lord, and I love that old song, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The waiting upon the Lord. The message reads it this way. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. I like that. Fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. By waiting upon the Lord. What an awesome thought. Barnes puts it in his notes like this. The word rendered wait upon here denotes properly to wait in the sense of expecting. The phrase to wait on Yahweh means to wait for His help. That is to trust in Him, to put our hope, our confidence in Him. In every circumstance, whether it's dangerous or whatever we may be going through, and to look upon Him to intervene in our life, to wait upon the Lord. Adams Clark says, they shall put forth fresh feathers like molten eagles. That says to come to a moment in the presence of the Lord. To come into a moment that I say, I'm going to wait upon God. You know, sometimes we enter into the presence of the Lord and we just don't sit there. You know, Mary at the feet of Jesus sat there. Martha was busy. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes Martha gets a bad name because she is cumbered with so many things. And Jesus says, Mary has sought the right thing. You know, sometimes we just need to go in the Lord's presence. And we just need to wait. I've heard some big-time preachers interpret that word. Well, you need to come in waiting on Him with this and serving. I don't believe that's what the Scripture represents here. I believe it represents me coming in. And I'm just honest with God. I'm just going to say something to the Lord. God, I'm so dry. Just like the psalmist says, I find myself in a dry and thirsty land. Oh, Lord, how I long for Your presence. So, God, that's where I need to be. God, that's where I want to be. Lord, I remember when I thrived. Can I tell you, we're living in a time that a lot of us can remember when the church thrived. And we can remember when things were different in our life. And it seems like everything has been wrecked. Maybe we need to wait upon the Lord once again. To sit there like Mary did. The Bible doesn't say Mary was saying a word. She's just sitting at the feet of Jesus. I just believe all those 24 elders that throw their crown down in front of the Lord, they are so overwhelmed by the presence of the Almighty that everything they had gained and all these things were distributed unto them, they just say it's nothing in the presence of the Lord. I'm saying today to have that type of presence and attitude when I find myself where I am not, where I'm not thriving in the presence of the Lord, maybe I just need to sit and let a tear roll down my cheek. Because I'm going to tell you, God hears what you're saying inside. He hears the hurt. He hears all these things. Because see, I think sometimes when we're not thriving, we just need to get in the presence of the Lord. So I ask you this morning, are you thriving in your relationship with God? Are you saying, yes, I feel His presence. He's walking with me. I feel His presence and also hear His voice. And can we say this morning, San Jacinto, as a church, are we thriving in our relationship with God? And it's hard to do, and as I mentioned a while ago, it seems like this culture, this life that we're living in today, you know, I remember them saying something that COVID was the new normal. And it was surprising how many people bought into that. I'll be quite honest with you, when that happened, I told Oliver, I said, we got to keep coming to church. We got to keep, let's buy a radio so I can transmit, be a big time preacher so I can transmit out in the parking lot. Thought about preaching off the roof. Why was that? Because I knew what was aimed at the church, that what was being presented was going to encourage a lot of people not to darken the doors anymore. I'm going to say today, are we thriving, church, once again? Are we thriving as a church? Are we where we need to be in our relationship with God? Because I'm going to tell you, it's God's intention for the church to thrive. The Bible says He's going to build His church right next door to the gates of hell. He's not scared. Amen. He said, I'm going to build it, and I'm going to have it thriving. So we got to make our mind up. Do we want to thrive again? Do we want to thrive? Do we want to thrive in our relationship with God and believe God's going to do some amazing things? Because it's all up in it's up to us. And I'm going to tell you this morning, church, it's time. Let me say it again. It's time for the church to thrive again. It's time. It's time. The enemy acts like he's got us down on the third count. But I'm going to tell you, it's time for us to thrive. Amen? Can I tell you something? God's still winning people. He's winning people by the thousands and the millions right now, everywhere but America. Churches are growing. People are getting saved. One of the biggest churches is underground, but God is still doing amazing things. You know how people get saved? The gospel of Jesus Christ. That message never changed. It's not the gospel of San Jacinto. It's not the gospel of other churches. It's the message of the cross of Jesus Christ is what grows. To me, a church is thriving when people are being saved, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and being discipled. And those that are discipled are going out saving people or preaching the word. The whole circle, the circle of the church. Can we thrive? Would you stand with me this morning? Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the dry and thirsty land. Amen. Can I just read you that scripture one more time of what David spoke of? He says, "Oh God, You are my God. Early I will seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water, So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. And he goes on and says, I've trodden the winepress. That's in the wrong scripture. But let me say this morning, can we just desire more of God? Amen. Every head bowed just for a minute. I've got a few minutes here. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I just need for my relationship to thrive once again. I'm just ready for God just to take over once again in my life. Will you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm ready. Amen. Anybody else? I'm not calling you forward or anything like that. I'm just going to say, hey, okay, amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord this morning. Because I know that God is willing to restore that relationship. Lord, today we come to you. Lord, we're thankful that we know that your intention for our life is that we thrive, God. And Lord, today we go through many things, many difficult things. We have intruders in our life, God, that try to interrupt that intention. And Lord, I pray today, God, for those that raised their hand this morning, and perhaps those that are watching online, I pray that we would just spend time. Lord, that we would just be that person that's going to spend some time in your presence, God. Lord, whether it be reading your scripture or just opening our heart unto thee, God. And I pray as we come with sincerity before thee, God, Lord, that we feel, God, those rivers of life starting to flow through us once again. And Lord, that we feel your blessings, God, upon our lives once again. And Lord, that you would help us to once again thrive in our relationship with you, God. Lord, that we'll feel that joy that only you can bring, that joy unspeakable once again in our life. I pray that you'd put that upon each person, God, in this house, God, and those that raised their hand today. Lord, we thank you for it, that we can call upon your name and believe it to be so. Now, Father, I pray that your blessing will be upon each one here today. Lord, that you'd walk with them throughout this week. Lord, may you pour your spirit upon them, God, and shine your face upon them in Jesus' name.